Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another season of A&M Consolidated Tiger Football. Coach David Ratfield joining us prior to the season opener with the Coppers Cove Bulldogs. We'll talk about that first. We're going to talk a little bit to David about his summer. I tell you, it's all about winning championships and what you do in the summer. What personally did you do to improve yourself this summer, David?
Oh, wow. I stayed up here and worked all summer. This is the most hours I think I've ever put in. We only took a three-day family vacation to the beach. We spent our time basically around this field house running camps all summer long.
Yeah, and frankly, there's never enough time to totally regroup for what is the fastest 10, 11, 12, 13 weeks of the year, to me at least. Let's talk a little bit about the offseason and go back to what the response was after the Temple game. You know what seniors are not going to be here to lead you anymore. So talk to us about the summer and preparations for this moment tonight.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, after the Temple game, you know, we were disappointed, obviously, but we had 15 starters in that game that were coming back this year. So really and truly, when we hit January and offseason started rolling, it was really about building off the success of our young kids a year ago. And we worked hard through offseason. It was a unique experience because the majority of our starters were not in offseason. They were in other sports. I've never had that many before. We went through spring training, and it was a great spring training. And the summer, the kids were committed and lifting and running. And so we're really excited about the season.
Coach, you know, every year Mark and I sit there and we run down that list of seniors and we look at it. I'm sure you as coaches do the same thing, and you shake your head and you're like, my gosh, how are we going to bounce back from this? But somehow there's always somebody down in the well. And you look at when they got all that playing experience, and when you talk about 15 people returning from starting in the Temple game, that was not just a game, that was a playoff game. That experience, to me, counts and means something. And every year you bounce back. This is going to be one of those as well. There are a lot of familiar names and some playmakers that you're bringing back on to the field.
You know, it's funny, as coaches, we get caught up on the kids that we're coaching at that time, but we're also coaching those younger ones. And one of the rewards you get in coaching is watch a kid develop over the years. I enjoy watching Mason Hickson right now throw the football and run practice. A year ago, he was trying to learn everything and cramming it in. His sophomore year, I mean, he was struggling just to be out there. And now he's relaxed. He's fluid. He's throwing the ball better than he ever has before, getting it to the playmakers. And, you know, and so 11 starts for him last year should pay off a great deal for us this year.
I think that's something you need to expand on just a little bit, because let's face it, when Mason first went out for his very first varsity snap, it wasn't pretty. And a lot of quarterbacks do have rocky starts, and we've seen them through the years. But your system is also not noted for being the simplest thing that was ever created. It is a complicated type offense to some, and I think the quarterback has that burden on his back. Talk about how long it usually takes to get a guy to mature, like we've seen Mason, to this point where this is his day.
You know, I went back and did the research, and over the years, I've only had a handful of juniors that start for me. It's really almost always a senior-driven position. And so there's a process that goes through from a freshman year to a sophomore to learning to play JV ball and making mistakes on Thursday nights, preparing for Friday night games. And by the time they're a senior, I think the quarterback should be an offensive coordinator. I think he should be able to go out there and run the show. And we didn't have that luxury last year. You had a junior starting, and he was still learning about the position. And so that causes a lot of stress on kids and makes them play sometimes tight, kind of limits your system sometimes. But to watch him go through practice now and then watch him interact with the younger quarterbacks, it is night and day. And you're going, it really hasn't been that long ago since you were the pup.
Yeah. And to that degree, I got to think in your system, just to ask the question I think people would be interested to know, are you constantly scouting your program from bottom to top, looking for that next quarterback and kind of getting it in the mind where you're like, you got your eye on this kid as they look, great arm, smart, can run this offense? Are you constantly scouting for that position?
Oh, yeah. It starts in seventh grade for us, and we're looking. There's so much to it. One, you want them to be athletic. Two, you want them to be able to throw the football. And three, they have to be able to think and react on the field. And a lot of times, until they get to the JV level, you can get away with just being an athlete or just having a strong arm. That next transition to that mental side of the game, which normally doesn't happen until their junior or senior year, it's awesome to watch it and watch the kids evolve that way and know when they go off to college, they're prepared.
All right, let's briefly talk about some guys that may have stepped up that I don't think were on the front lines last year that you say, hey, this is going to be a good addition. They're taking the role as a leader on this team. Do you have some from the two-a-days that probably are from the scrimmages that you look at and say, all right, we're going to have some playmakers here, and here's who these guys are?
You know, defensively in our scrimmage last week, Abel Daly, outside backer, really stepped up, made a bunch of great plays. He was on the field and played in every game last year, but wasn't a dominant player. I think he has an opportunity this year as a junior to be a dominant playmaker player. TJ Ranowski, amazing season, amazing offseason last year. He grew throughout the year. He's a little thicker now, but he really understands our defense. He quarterbacks the back end, expecting a huge things from him in that back end. You got a young Colby Peel at safety. He is very athletic, just a sophomore, but actually came up as a freshman the last three games last year, played against Temple in the playoffs, and I think he's a bona fide playmaker down the road. In the defensive line, it's Jaden Drisdale. It's his. We've been spending a lot of times. I've been trying to follow J.J. Watt a bunch and just try and find a role model for him that way. And I think that's paying off. He's doing a lot of extra things. Offensive line, really impressed with Zach Ransom. He's a guard that has just slowly moved up through the system, and he's one of our best offensive linemen. We've moved Philip Jimenez from defense over to offense, and he's really accepting that position and doing some great things. He's a big old boy, about 330. That's our big size in there. And then, you know, and in the backfield, I really, really like junior running back Robert Franklin. He came off the JV, and I think he will be an impact player that nobody knows about.
Coach, we'll turn our attention now to the Copperco Bulldogs. I want to go back to something you said first of all about the defense. That, my friend, is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Tell us about the defense. Give the fans that are going to be in the stands something to say, look, we may not have to outscore them every year as big as we did last year, but let's talk a little bit about what's happened on the defense.
I'll tell you what, last year we made a conscious effort to make some changes schematically. We've got players, I think, in better positions, but really and truly, like, people didn't realize, in district play, we end up the number one scoring defense and number one yardage defense in the district. We had issues when we faced major Division I type players, and I think that's because we got a lot of good high school football players. And so we feel we're more athletic all the way across the board on defense. We think we're more comfortable with our schemes, and we think we're going to be able to shut some people down this year.
All right, and that's all we needed to hear, and I want to talk a little bit more about what you said a moment ago about having a quarterback of sorts on that defense. I think that's what was missing last year, the unfortunate loss of who you thought was going to be the quarterback of the defense. There's always been one go-to guy that will help direct traffic. Do you feel like you've got that maybe divided among two folks, or maybe it is TJ?
Right now, it's TJ all the way, and he keeps the back end in line. If the back end is good, our front seven will be fine. I think he's doing a tremendous job. Our inside linebackers are all underclassmen, and so I don't think we can ask them to take the leadership role, but they're good football players.
One thing before we go to Coppers Cove, let's talk a little bit about Tyree Merchant. He seems to be the talk of the district right now. I love having that trump card, though, back there, under the radar with a new name that nobody's heard from. There have been several of those come through Consol. You're known for a run-and-gun passing, but you do a lot of things when you have a lot of weapons in the backfield. I think the number one weapon in the district may be, indeed, Tyree Merchant.
Tyree Merchant is amazingly explosive. He can score at any time, and he made a leaping touchdown in the scrimmage. I tell you what, he's just a tremendous athlete. He can play receiver. He can get back and play running back. You'll see him all over the football field touching the ball this year.
All right, let's talk now about the Coppers Cove Bulldogs. Last year, a buzzsaw, and it was not pretty when we went to Coppers Cove, 62-38, the final in that one. But I'll tell you, those Jack Welch teams, even though when you talk to Jack, they're all injured and may or may not be back or whatever the deal is, they are loaded with talent year in and year out with a bunch of D1 players, and here we go again.
Oh, no question about their athleticism. They do an amazing job there of putting kids in the right position, making their adjustments, and following their schemes. You know, a lot of people didn't realize it was a 38-45 ball game at the beginning of the fourth last year, and the wheels fell off. And a lot of it had to do with depth. And that's our biggest fear, I think it is for everybody who's in the 5A, is the number of kids you have on your seconds and the thirds. We saw it in the scrimmage against Cy Springs. Our ones went toe-to-toe. Our twos had some issues. And so I really believe this game will be another game that comes down to the fourth quarter and who can stay healthy and what number twos can step in the game and play with the ones.
I absolutely love this game. I think it's a great opening matchup for high school football. I think it's a lot of excitement that goes with it. There have been some of the greatest games we've had the opportunity of being a part of, and probably the best ever in your career, other than maybe the state championship thing. I just think that this is a great matchup. But what's interesting is they're going to be pretty well loaded this year. They, as good as they are, were one and done. They hit a Rockwall team last year and were knocked out in round one, as were you guys against Temple.
You know, they had a tremendous football team. We lined up and played. They got hot late in that game. We couldn't slow them down. Unfortunately, they lost their quarterback at the beginning of the game the next week, and he was never quite the same. He's a UTSA commit, tremendous kid. Not having him 100% against Rockwall hurt them quite a bit. Jack's been arguing about or whining about depth over there as well, because they're a small 6A. They're not much bigger than us. But I'll tell you what, they will line up and play ball. And Jack and I both talk about it. At the end of that ball game, we know what we have. You know, years ago I used to play Corby Meekins at Westfield when I was at Falls. It was the same thing. Win or lose, at the end of the game, you know what you had for the year. And you can't ask for more than that in an opening game.
In wrapping up, let's talk a little bit about Coppers Cove. It is difficult to tell where we're going to be vulnerable, where we'll be really strong. But what's your biggest fear against Cove that they bring in there? Tyree is probably Ayers in the backfield. You know they're going to be keying on him some. What do you see with Cove?
You know, the unknown is their quarterback. He's a first-year starter. He played up last year. He's a junior. He's very athletic. He can put the football, sling it around. The question really is going to be, can he run? You know, do we have to load the box to stop him, or can we drop into coverage? And he's unproven that way. And so I think as the game unfolds, he will be the key, just like their guy last year was the key.
We'll talk briefly about the rest of the district. Let's say that the championship runs through Bryan right now because it's theirs to lose. You got College Station going to be strong, Rudder under new leadership. I still think the dark horse in the district may be Huntsville once Rodney gets his program really up and running there. So talk about the district a bit as you see it.
You know, I think the district has elevated quite a bit in the last 2 years, the year before we were in it and then last year to this year. There's been several coaching changes that seem to have had positive impact on their schools. There's good athletes. Willis is as good as anybody. If they get it together, them and Huntsville will have something to say about the district. College Station, Bryan, and ourselves, we're all very similar. None of us have any depth. You know, everybody that once you put the twos in, it's not the same. And so really and truly, you know, you go back to look at last year, Bryan was the team that stayed the healthiest, and they went on to win the district. I think whoever stays the healthiest throughout this season will also be the front runner for the district championship.
Now, you brought up a good point about Willis, because I recall last year a lot of underclassmen, and that experience against teams like Consol, College Station, Bryan in particular, I think is going to pay off big, and I had forgotten about that. Coach, in wrapping up here, first of all, it's a pleasure to work with you again. This is the fastest 11, 12, 13 weeks, as we've mentioned, and it does fly by, and especially in your position. But if you had to say this team compares to last year in what way, you got to just lay it out. What are the expectations so the fans, so those of us that are watching, know what to watch for in this program week to week? Where are we right now?
You know, I think the question is really and truly going to be about the offensive line and the defensive line. They were the areas that last year I probably misjudged, and I think going in this year, at the end of this game, we should know if those two are where they need to be.
All right, Coach David Raphael, thanks a lot. Our pregame show continues in a moment from right now. It's the Coppers Cove Bulldogs making the trek to Tigerland Stadium. The kickoff just moments away. We'll have it for you right here. For Coach David Raphael, I'm Mike Wright.